From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. It's been a year since kidney transplants were performed in Southwest Florida. Lee Health suspended its program transplanting kidneys from deceased donors last April, but that suspension was 1 year after a Cape Coral man died in the process of donating a kidney to his father. Now, 2 years after that man's death, the program has been revamped and this week reopened as the Lee Health Transplant Institute at Gulf Coast Medical Center. Today, we'll speak with the surgeons and nephrologists, that's kidney experts to the layman, about what's changed in the kidney transplant program and what its restart means for patients and Southwest Florida. Plus, computer hackers don't have the best reputation thanks to identity theft and email hacks, but a group in Southwest Florida is trying to change that, applying their computer skills to work with artists, designers, and other specialists to offer help through hacking. Today, we'll talk with the founders of the Southwest Florida Hackerspace, and we'll find out about an event this weekend to recycle electronic waste like smartphones and computers. First, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. What do you think of when you think of computer hackers? Perhaps the shadowy workings of government intelligence agencies, or fraudsters trying to get their hands on your personal data, or even someone trying to put a virus on your computer. Well, you'd be forgiven if one of these pop culture images comes to mind when you think about these kinds of computer experts, but a group of hackers in Southwest Florida is working to change that image. They're called the Southwest Florida Hackerspace, and they emphasize hacking is simply a way to personalize technology and make it do what you, the user, need it to do. The nonprofit group is doing everything from building and designing useful tech to educating people about how to best take advantage of the technology that they use every day. One major goal of the Hackerspace project is intelligent use and disposal of technology. To that end, they're organizing an electronic waste or e-waste event this coming Saturday in Fort Myers. Here to talk about that effort is Hackerspace member and iRecycle event organizer Gerard Damiano. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you for having us on your show.
Also joining us to talk about the Hackerspace efforts to help people in Southwest Florida do more with technology is the group's founder, Russell Benzing. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Julie. Thank you.
We're talking about computer hacking for a good cause in Southwest Florida. What questions do you have for our hackers, and what gaps do you see in our daily use of technology that you think should be addressed? Give us a call and share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, Russell Benzing, founder of Southwest Florida Hackerspace. Where did the idea of a hackerspace come from, and what are the goals of getting a bunch of hackers together for a project?
Since I was very young, I've always been into technology and coming of age share. I've wanted to always something help people in the community and build a space where everybody can come together and collaboratively get involved with technology and build things and create things and take it to the next level.
So why get a bunch of them together in the same place? Is it kind of an idea sharing thing?
More heads the better, right? So what I may not know, somebody else will. And when we all put our heads together, we can really create something cool.
So Gerard Damiano, is it only hackers that are in this group, or are other people bringing their skills in as well?
Well, hacker is a broad term. I think a lot of technology enthusiasts are members of the group. And now that technology has become so pervasive in our society, everybody could include themselves in that group.
Can kind of play a part, people like designers and artists?
Yes.
Do you have a few people that are more artistically inclined involved?
Well, I myself am a visual artist. That's what I do. And over the past 8 years, I started teaching about technology because I've been using Apple computers in, you know, every aspect of my own work. And after having to learn so much, I realized that that knowledge in and of itself is worth something. So I taught my first class down at the Alliance for the Arts, and I've been coming back every season and teaching out on Sanibel and Captiva and in Fort Myers to share that information.
So you said that the definition of hacker is kind of, you know, nebulous. What is a hacker?
Well, the term hacker has really gotten a bad rap. People watch a lot of movies, and usually when you think about hacking, you think about the negative connotations, what I would call, or we might refer to as black hat hacking, where somebody's going to break into your computer and steal your information and so forth. But there's also the other side of that, the flip side of that, which is white hat hacking. And that's using our superpowers for good and not for evil.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, you know, following that movie analogy, it seems like as far as pop culture is concerned, people had kind of learned about black hacking because they got a virus. You know, that's about when you first start hearing about that kind of stuff. But it seems like in pop culture, the awareness of white hat hacking, or figuring out and getting to the bottom of where these viruses are originating from and all that, doesn't get a lot of press. Do you find that to be true, Russell?
Well, it's just not as well publicated. But yeah, it is on the internet. There's a lot of information available about people that are doing hacking for good.
Maybe they're just not PR people.
Bad news has a lot more popularity than good news.
Bad news has long legs, yeah.
And there is a concept I like to throw out there, which is gaining popularity, and that's this idea of life hacking. In other words, little tips, tricks, things you can do to make your life better, not just your computer, but things that you do in everyday life. Little, let's say...
Oh, I can't think of them, but I see them all the time on social media. You've been doing this all wrong. Here are certain life hacks that are going to make things easier. So that's giving hack a little bit of a better name.
Yeah, it could be as simple as, you know, there's a TED Talk on a new way of tying your shoes where they won't come untied, you know, something like that, which, you know, until somebody posted that, no one thought about it, and we've all been retying our shoes all day.
Or the other guy that had the how to dry your hands without using as much paper towels by wringing them out 12 times. He timed it out. It actually is true. So there's hacker space then, and that's like a space for hackers or people who are into technology to get together. But that's not really unique to just our community. Is that happening in other places in Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. It's happening all around the world. People are trying to build these centers to places to get together and work with technology, enhancing, making things better, fixing, and beyond.
And then there's makerspace. What's the difference between that? I mean, making a physical thing out of technology?
Makerspaces, I guess, compared to hackerspaces. So makerspaces, you have more like woodworking tools and metalworking tools, things like that. You can actually make things there. Whereas a hackerspace, you can bring things in, you can fix them, you can get ideas, you can build off of those ideas and then use technology with those as well.
Is the hackerspace goal to raise money to have kind of like a makerspace or a center?
Yes. Yeah, we're looking for a big center where we can actually do woodworking, 3D print shop tools, as well as a fix-it center for community people to come in.
So how often do you guys get together?
Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks? And so like what's a typical meeting like?
Typical meeting, we'll sit down. We'll start with just a social gathering of people, you know, introducing each other and figuring out what we do and how we can work together. Then people will introduce projects. You know, we'll have some guy that's interested in showing off the next Arduino project he's working on, or a Raspberry Pi project, or building a home automation system.
What is Raspberry Pi?
So Raspberry Pi is a tiny, affordable computer that's available for anybody to purchase nowadays. It's you can use it for just about anything. So from building small electronical pieces, you can turn into amplifiers or a home automation system, or you can build your own AC monitor if you wanted to. There's tons of different things you can do with it.
What? Okay. I'm a complete technology plebe. So Raspberry Pi, is that like a name brand?
It is. Yeah. Okay. It's a name that they assign to just a tiny affordable computer.
Tiny affordable computer. And then you just kind of ramp that thing up to make it do what you want it to do?
Yeah, it comes in all different shapes and sizes too. So there's different versions of it that include different things like USB ports on it, or you can tie into cables and things like that. You can expand upon its device.
So you've been doing this for so many years. Does it amaze you how small things have gotten when
no,
you see that?
No. No, it's always been like that, and I'm kind of used to seeing things getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, you're used to the incredible shrinking world of the hacker. So tell me about some of the workshops or other education projects that the Hackerspace has undertaken. I understand the group even has its own educational director?
Yeah. So Eric Shifley, he's our educational director, where we will come together every month and try and come up with one workshop at least a month for people to learn new things about technology. So we've done – in the past, we've done Raspberry Pi workshops where we come in. You can build your own Raspberry Pi units and turn it into a home automation system or a home media center. Or a robot. It has many different purposes for it. We've also done ones on soldering, how to put little electronics together, just an overall view of what are the different electronics that are on a motherboard or RAM, that sort of things.
I should really attend some of this because I have a hard time programming my thermostat.
Well, I'd like to say something about Eric, who I met at one of these meetings. Now, he came in and he had what I think was a Game Boy. That he presented, And he and his son had made that from scratch. Now, I've seen like Pinewood Derby cars and stuff like that made from scratch. But the idea of making this little machine, and now they literally 3D printed all the parts. So the plastics and everything were made by them, then programmed a little computer. It might have been Raspberry Pi inside of there to play Donkey Kong. And he handed it to me, you know, and just the idea that someone was able to make this at their house from start to finish, starting with nothing, then programming it, you know, printing out all the parts, the 3D parts, programming it so that it could play Donkey Kong. I mean, he handed it to me. I'm not so good at even playing Donkey Kong, so I was struggling just playing the game, yeah. And he made the thing from scratch. And to me, that's amazing, the idea that people could empower themselves to make their own technology.
These are kind of those hobbies, though, that can then also translate into something, you know, down the road. You know, I mean, sometimes these hobbies and things that you get kids interested in when they're young and then they're working with their dad to make something, that could end up being a career builder.
Absolutely. And another cool thing is when you put all these minds together, you know, one person will bring in like a Game Boy and the next person will have another idea to expand upon that and make it even better yet. So there's constant idea, always getting better with your ideas.
Well, I think there's something that bears noting, and that's that the idea of a hackerspace is not new. I mean, maybe calling it a hackerspace is new, but there have been computer clubs throughout the country and throughout the world for many years. And there was this group in Northern California that was meeting in the 70s, the Homebrew Computer Club, it was called. And that's where Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak first presented to the group their Apple computer that they created. And it was something that, you know, it was in a wooden box. I mean, it didn't even come with a box, but that's how they first presented it, because technology is usually a very big collaboration and it requires a lot of people. And so it's hard to just be alone in your studio or alone in your space and create something. But when you get in a group and start bouncing ideas off each other and can improve upon what each other has done, it's amazing what you can accomplish.
Yeah, it also creates like a bit of a social aspect too. And it seems like it's getting cooler and cooler to know how to do a lot of these things in technology. Where before it was kind of like isolated or, you know, a very small group of the super gifted that would be working on this. But now it's like a lot more people seem to want to get involved. So do you take beginners?
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask a question also for people that are, you know, older demographic in our listening area, because I constantly hear from my dad, for example, oh, that's a great picture. You should print that. Or you should make a copy of that. You should make a print of that. Tell me a little bit about preserving digital heirlooms and how that has kind of changed things for people. How technology has changed the way that we keep our heirlooms and organize our treasured yeah. objects like these digital photos.
Yeah, so a lot of the digital heirlooms now are saved on your local computers, you know, or on the cloud.
The cloud,
which
yeah.
most people don't know what or where the cloud even exists. Where our hackerspace has, you know, creating these media centers for people where they can actually store their digital heirlooms in the house and then be able to share it amongst everybody in the family. They can always constantly dump to it to kind of just back up their information that they've been saving for years.
Like, for example, I took a picture of the ticket that my grandfather used to be one of the first to walk across the Golden Gate Bridge. So that would be something that you would put in an heirloom, a digital collection.
Sure, yeah.
And this is something that the hackers came up with. It's a way to organize this stuff?
It's not something that we came up with. It's just an idea that we wanted to put out to help people with this sort of thing, right? Because I know a lot of people don't know where to put a lot of the digital photos, and then they end up with multiple laptops and different photos on both, and they want to combine them into one area where they can access it.
So this is one of the projects that you guys have worked
correct.
On?
Yeah, correct.
Oh, great. How can people access that? Do they go to meetings and find out what you did?
So they can go to our workshop on media centers, and we'll help them build one and be able to show them how it works and upload and download photos to their media center.
And there's no shaming when you come in and don't know anything,
there
right?
is not, no.
Okay, great. Tell me another – there's another project that you worked on where you helped an orange guy, a guy that was growing oranges with monitoring. Tell me about that project.
Yeah, so a fellow came in. Went to one of our meetings, and he is a partner in Orange Grove, and had an idea of maybe using some sort of grid system to be able to control some of the temperatures or figure out, you know, monitor this information just to get better feedback on their end. So one of our other members is helping him create a node system where they can have different nodes throughout the grove, and it all transmits back to a mother station that then gives them information on how each part of that grove is performing. Temperature-wise, ground soil-wise, you know.
That's pretty useful. Have you ever had any projects that you've had to say no to that were just a little too fringe?
Not yet.
Not yet. We are talking about computer hacking for good causes in Southwest Florida. What questions might you have for our hackers? And what gaps do you see in our daily technology use that you think should be addressed? Give us a call and share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook or at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Let's switch gears now and talk about one of an upcoming events that you're organizing for, at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers this coming Saturday. It's the iRecycle Workshop. An e-waste event. Gerard Damiano, what is e-waste? Tell me.
E-waste is a term that describes electronic waste. And the issues with electronic waste today, it's of epidemic proportion. It's something that is a byproduct of this, you know, disposable consumer society that we're in. But it's gotten to the place where now, you know, when you throw away your cell phone, it's not like throwing away a bundle of newspapers that will eventually go back into the ecosystem. You're throwing away a device that has heavy metals and toxic chemicals that will leach into the groundwater and poison the environment. And the technology that's being developed today, I think it's no secret that it's not built to last. We have this preconception that technology is developing so fast that it's there's no sense in hanging on to something from yesterday because something better and faster is going to come out tomorrow. So we're expected to turn over our cell phones every 2 years. Now, Apple, over the summer in July, they announced the sale of their 1 billionth iPhone. Now, that's a billion iPhones. That's one product that Apple makes. That's not iPods, iPads, laptops, etc., from one company. So we're not talking about Samsung Galaxies and Notes and all these things. So if you think about the quantity of these devices that we have that we are within 18 months or 2 years expected to get rid of and buy a new one, it creates an issue that we're only now coming to terms with. Most people don't even think about that.
Yeah, they think of their one or two phones instead of a billion people with one or two phones.
And then when their phone is done, they think, well, I'll just throw it in the recycle bin and it'll be fine. And so that's an issue that we're addressing, and we're trying to not only inform people about responsible e-waste recycling, but we like to talk about upcycling and reusing and repurposing devices, because that ultimately is the best way of recycling, is not to have to recycle at all, is to first maintain your phones, your devices, because...
Or force that printer to work.
Well, exactly. And that's where the hackerspace could come in, because manufacturers are very comfortable in having you throw away your device so that they can sell you a new one, and it's a very profitable business model. But with a little bit of knowledge and, let's say, a little bit of hacking, you can make your device last much longer. You can reuse it. You can then repurpose it. So you don't have to buy so many devices, and you can get the most out of them. So
are you encouraging people then to bring old phones and old computers and old printers?
Well, absolutely. What we're doing is during the Alliance of the Arts Green Market, which happens every Saturday, so we'll be there from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we have a collection where you can bring any electronics. Please don't bring refrigerators or microwaves, but you can bring old phones, laptops, any kind of computer, monitor, cables, connectors, all of that stuff we will collect. And then what we'll do with it is that first we give it over to the hackerspace. And anything that could be fixed, repaired, repurposed, reused, we'll do that. After that, there are devices that can be broken down. For example, printers, where printers are very easy to break. They don't make those to last at all.
No, they don't.
They're designed to clog with ink. And what do? Buy more ink to flush them out, and then you throw the whole thing away.
Or they stop making that kind of ink cartridge.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
So what the hackers would do is then break a machine like that apart and take out and salvage it for some of the usable parts, like the little motors and so forth, that can be then repurposed to make other things, like other Russell can explain how you could take some old printers and make a 3D printer out of some of the parts for it.
And so have you done that?
I personally haven't, but I've definitely seen instructables and things on how to do that.
So you've worked with people that have taken these regular old crusty printers, like a Hewlett Packard or whatever. I don't want to call anybody out, but that's the biggest name. But and then they just turn it into a 3D printer.
Yeah, when you really break down these devices, there's tons of things you can pull off, gears and metal bars and rods and things that you can actually reuse for.
You can make a robot out of that, maybe.
Other stuff.
Yes, yeah. We're building an army of killer robots with this stuff.
Okay, and I wanted to get onto that too, because when somebody says to me, "Oh, we have a hackerspace, bring me your old computer," I'm like, "What? What? That doesn't sound like a good idea. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm thinking, why would I give a computer that has all my information to a hacker? How do you get rid of all your stuff on your computer?"
It's funny that you say that, because when I first announced this project that I wanted to do and share it with somebody, they said, "What, are you kidding me? You want me to take my phone and my computer and bring it down and give it to a hacker?
Would you also like my bank account routing numbers?"
When the truth is that during our event, we will have technicians from the Southwest Florida Hackerspace on hand to help you wipe your devices. Now, during my demonstration, I'll be showing how you can clear all your personal data off your iPhone, for example, so that you can give it to somebody else. I mean, that's the first and easiest way of recycling something, is just to reuse it, is just to, as long as you can unlock it so that the security is taken off of it and erase all your personal data, then you can, you know, give it to your nephew or whatever and keep it going that way. Otherwise, I'll be demonstrating techniques for, say, taking an old iPhone, and maybe it's a few years old, so it's not keeping up with what you want your iPhone to do. So you'll run out and buy a new iPhone 7, but I've still got my old iPhone 5. So what do? Wipe it clean, and then delete all the non-essential apps off of it to make as much space as possible. Download a couple of photography apps on there, and then make this into a dedicated camera. So now it's a camera. You can online purchase waterproof housing for it. And so now I have an underwater camera that I've got very inexpensively. Also, there's techniques for replacing the batteries in these devices, because that's what's considered designed obsolescence or
the batteries develop a memory or whatever, and they.
Well, it's not just that. It's this idea that things are designed to fail. So even though, say, the iPhone, for example, is built very well, it's not going to fall apart, but the battery is not built to last. The battery is built to last 1,000 cycles. That is charging it up and running it down. So in less than 3 years, your phone might still function, but you got to keep it plugged in all the time to keep it working. And
there's a way to replace that battery?
There is a way, but of course, you know, Apple doesn't make it easy. You know, most people would be hard pressed to even figure out how to open up the iPhone. It's not like older models of phones where we were used to, they had user serviceable batteries where you could just pop your old battery out and buy a new one, have multiple batteries and so forth. So now they make it very difficult to do that, but not impossible. And that's where a group like the Hackerspace would come in, because at a meeting, you could bring it in. And if you've got a guy there that can make his own Game Boy from scratch, you certainly have somebody on the team that knows how to open up your iPhone and swap out the battery.
Well, I've opened them up, but that was only because I dropped them from a great height. I am notoriously rough on my technology.
I guess opening them up is easier than putting them back together.
Yeah,
and that's the important
the
part.
So what things can people not bring? So you said no appliances, obviously. This is all electronic stuff.
Right. Well, we're focusing on technology. So really what we're talking about is computers, monitors, peripherals such as printers, scanners, cables and connectors, adapters that go with that, all sorts of mobile devices, tablets, etc., you know, cell phones of any kind. But, we limit it to technology, although now that, there's a lot of gray area between what everything has got a computer chip in it nowadays. But, things like refrigerators or, toasters and so forth, we want to keep this event focused on the technology that we can repurpose rather than have people just dropping off their garbage.
Yeah, no, that's not what we're looking for. Or maybe you can even teach people how they can make something useful again. There are old laptops and old things that just seem like they're just so outdated, but maybe they could come back to life. Possibly. So with technology being such a huge part of everyday lives, I want to ask you, Russell, do you think people understand technology as well as they should?
I like to think they do, but every time that I'm exposed to the general public, most of the time it's false. So not a lot of people, I think,
know how to use it,
but they don't really know the underlyings of what it actually does.
You're such an optimist. You're like, I like to think so, but then no, it's not true.
No, clearly not.
But people seem to kind of know what they need to know in order to get by, and then beyond that, they just don't.
Well, this is very true. I mean, I've been teaching people over the past few years just how to use their iPhones. So if you would have told me 12 years ago that I would actually have a job and get paid for teaching somebody how to use a telephone, I would have thought you were crazy. But the truth is I do a 5-part, 3 hours each class series on the iPhone. So 15 solid hours of education just showing you all the things that you can do with it, and we don't repeat. And then, of course, in September, the new phone will come out and it starts all over again. And so most people barely know how to use their devices, let alone fix them if they get broken.
I know. And then you see articles about things that you can do with your iPhone, and they're called iPhone hacks. But they're actually things that you can just do with your iPhone. You're not really hacking anything, really. I mean, it's just knowing what the instructions are.
I think what you're hacking is the system. You're hacking this notion of just – it's out of your control, you throw it away. I'm going to keep this and make it into something else and keep it working, which fixing something that's broken now has become, you know, a revolution. It's an act of rebellion instead of just going along and just purchasing something new and throwing your old thing in the landfill to leach into the environment.
So, yeah, it's like going along with the herd of sheep or, you know, standing still and going the other direction and fixing your thing and making it last longer.
Absolutely.
Or repurposing it into a piece of art. We had a picture on our website that we got from you guys of a C-3PO, somebody made out of parts.
Yes. Now, that's an artist that we're working with. That, to us, is the highest level of recycling is what we call upcycling. In other words, instead of just, you know, kicking your old iPhone to get a little more life out of it, if you can transform it into something else, raise it to a higher level, making a work of art out of it. So there are several artists that are able to take just the parts that have no value at all and then make something beautiful. So we have some work that we posted on our site. There's a local artist, Cesar Aguilera, who's going to be joining us on Saturday to show some of the jewelry and fashion that he's created out of old computer parts.
Ooh, I've seen that stuff. It's pretty nice looking. I've seen some of the pictures of that. So if people wanted to learn a little bit more about this, how do they get a hold of you? Do they come to one of your meetings?
Well, I would say the most universal way of getting in touch is Southwest Florida Hackerspace on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
But we'd like to invite everyone to come down this Saturday to the Alliance for the Arts, which is on the corner of McGregor and Colonial Boulevard during their green market, which is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. to drop off your electronics and meet some of the hackers in person. I will be giving a free presentation from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. in which I'll be presenting some of these ideas and sharing what you can do to hack your own life.
And you can pick some veggies while you're there, too. So that's always good. I want to thank you guys both for coming in. Gerard Damiano with Hackerspace e-waste event, and also Russell Benzing, founder of Southwest Florida Hackerspace. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida. I'm just waiting till my BlackBerry dies, cause I'll replace it with the Raspberry Pi. Don't compare it to this track, it makes everything they said dull. Neutralize any threat, turn Red Skull to Dev Null. They killed virus writers that we mentioned.